Welcome to the Creating Eden podcast. I am your host, Eden Elizabeth. This podcast is a space of storytelling, truth-telling, raw and honest expression. Vulnerability is not only welcomed here, but it is celebrated. In this space, we honor the messy, the real, the authentic, the too much, and everything else that makes us human. Here, you get to witness real-time emotional and energetic processes that give you a peek into my own personal practice and the work that I do with my one-to-one private mentorship clients. Thank you for being here, for witnessing, and receiving. Today, we have Nicole Parker on the podcast to talk about her upcoming container called Rooted, 8 weeks of devotion to motherhood. Nicole is a woman and a mother who is truly in service to mothers in all seasons of their motherhood. She is a lighthouse for mothers who are seeking a different way of experiencing motherhood, turning away from the mainstream and orienting towards nourishment in all of its senses. It is truly a gift to be in Nicole's presence and an even more powerful gift to learn from her. I am so excited to share our episode together. I went from being scattered and dysregulated at the beginning of our call to feeling truly nourished by the end of it. So I'm just so grateful to have her and so stoked to share this episode with you. Enjoy. Okay. Hello, Nicole. Welcome to your second time on the podcast. I'm so grateful that, you reached out to me and initiated this because I am sure it's going to be a good one, just as our last one together was amazing. But for those who maybe haven't listened to our first podcast episode together, we spoke about nourished postpartum the first time. And I am, just so grateful to be here talking with you and kind of continuing on from postpartum into motherhood, continuing the conversation into motherhood now that, I'm in it. I was pretty pregnant when we had our first one, and now my daughter is just over 7 months old. So this also feels like a little touchstone in reflecting back to that. But welcome. This episode, we're going to be talking about Nicole's upcoming program called Rooted. And it was one that I was a part of at the beginning of this year in February. Did it start in February?
February.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm so excited to get into it. Our conversation last time was one of the ones that women referenced to me the most often. I think it was just so, and it was such a joy to me, and I know I've said this to you before, and I think I maybe even said this in some of the Rooted classes, last round was like, it is such a joy for me to have my own personal touchstone of like watching the first time mother and the so pregnant mother on the cusp of like really anticipating but still truly having no idea the goodness that's about to arrive to her. And then to be able to watch you over these last few months and be like, there's the goodness that I knew she was getting and she had a good feeling she was getting, but now is here. And it's so, you know, and it's all the challenge and all the stretch and all the expansion and all those thresholds that we find. But really being available to just the absolute reality that like that is the goodness too. Those are the good bits too. I'm excited to see how the conversation is different. And my baby was so small, you know, I have Liam and he's my fourth, but he was with me and so little. He was maybe what, 3 months or something like that when he was like strapped to my chest the last time we spoke. And so it's fun to, I think this is actually maybe the first podcast I've ever done without him in my body. So what kind of conversations am I capable of without a baby on my body? We shall see.
Let's first start with just an explanation of what Rooted is for you, because of course, all the women who go through it have different, like they have their own unique experiences, but what is it for you?
Buddhism is really beautiful. I see it as this really co-creative space. And it's not like a monthly membership, and it's not like a Facebook group, but it's not like a playdate meetup thing, you know. But the space is really co-created in the sense that every mother is really lending her voice and her thread and her essence. And so much of the medicine of the space comes from who is in it. I was just talking to a woman the other day. Lots of women, sometimes, especially with financial considerations, will be like, "Well, are you doing it again later? I really want to." And I'm like, "I probably will do it later. I completely trust you to make your choice. And if you want to do it, consider doing it, because there is always something that I could not possibly anticipate, I could not possibly plan, I could not possibly orchestrate in all of the details, where it becomes more than I intended for it to be. And it's because of the women that are there." And so, it is 8 weeks of coming together weekly in the group chat, it's still running months later. And it's this space where women are really, I see it as living in devotion to their motherhood. And every mother lives in devotion to childhood. It's really inescapable. You wipe the noses and you wipe the tears and you hold the children and you fill the bellies and you rock the hurts away. But being in devotion to motherhood, your experience of being a mother is uniquely distinct from being in devotion to their childhood and their experience of being your child. And I think it's so frequent that we kind of lose sight of one in service of the other. And I'm a mother, I'm not gonna lie. If I had to choose one, yeah, I'm choosing my kids. Like, you can't, I hear you, like, I get it, of course. But I am here for the conversation and really the revival of, where's the mothering model where you're not choosing to martyr yourself at the altar of your baby without compromising attunement, attachment, connection, presence, and really your physiology? I recognize there are certain biological truths about mothering, and I would never say to deny yourself those biological truths in order to, quote unquote, fill your cup or practice self-care. But what else? What else? If you're not betraying attunement or the fact that you are, the mother baby dyad for so much longer than people even think, what does it look like to exist within that realm and to mother within that reality while still having your needs met? And maybe even, like, not just met, but vibrant, where you're totally grounded and have energy and good community and you feel nourished and, like, totally up to the task. Right? Up to the task. What would that feel like to never feel like you're not up to the task? And in motherhood, you'll hit so many spaces where you're like, "Whoa, this is new," or, "Oh, this is gonna, like, be physically intense," right? Like, I had four kids with stomach purging, puking things at the same time last month. Of course, I was like, "Oh, tonight is gonna be a night for me. How curious, what is this gonna be like?" But I also wasn't like, "Oh no, what am I gonna do? I can't do this. I don't know how this is gonna be." There was no point where I was like, "Oh, this is catastrophe." I was like, "This is gonna be messy and that's gross." And here we go, right? Rooted is the space and devotion to motherhood and devotion to nourishment, and really, really upon the foundational knowing that when mothers are well, their children are well. And when children are well, families are well. And when families are well, we are all well. And so that matters. And it's done together. By definition, wellness is done together.
And that was something that it was really felt for me, receiving Rooted, and the medicine that it had to offer was that it's not separate. It is its own, like motherhood is its own thing, separate from childhood, but it is so woven together. And I'm just so grateful that there's mothers and women like you creating these spaces because they are so necessary and so needed, and so, at least from my experience, so lacking. I don't see it enough. So, I'm so grateful that you're doing the work that you're doing and that I've gotten to be on the receiving end of it.
Thank you. It's so nourishing to me to be in this space. I told someone to say that I was like, I would run rooted for myself. Like the way it improves my mothering experience every time. Like I would just do that on my own. I love that you guys are coming. Yes, please. And I love that it improves your lives and your families and your relationships with your children and your marriages and your friendships and all that. Like, and it's also doing that for me. And I also enjoyed that. Yeah, of course.
So with that, where did this idea to create this container come from for you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was really, I can just share my own like experience of this, but it was really searching for that model. Like we talked about, you either, I remember being a new mother and I was so devoted to my son. I was so, of course, right? And I was so joyfully martyred. Like I didn't even feel bad about it. I was fully aware of what I was doing and I did not give a fuck. I was so content meeting none of my own needs and meeting all of his. And just the reality is that that's just not sustainable. And so that was really truly enjoyable, like ecstasy levels of enjoyment, just being in complete devotion and service to him for about a year, maybe upwards of a year and a half. And then this, oh my, actually need something. And like, what do I even need? You know, women will talk about that, like, oh, I have an hour of alone time. What do I do? Do I shower? Do I write? Do I call a friend? Do I take a nap? Do I clean my foot? Do I like, because there's a backlog of need. And there's culture and there's counterculture. But what else? And so culture, the like mainstream culture is like, well, put your kid in daycare part-time. Well, go to the gym. Well, go out on the weekends. Well, for your little babies, right? It's whatever you need, you go do that. And whatever, you know, damn the consequences. And so myself personally, I really ignore all of the rhetoric around like, you can't pour from an empty cup. Your baby will be well when you are well. You need to meet your own needs first. The way that I saw that being done was at the cost of biology. And it was compromising to not just child, but also to those parts of myself that I know so intimately as a mother that cannot pretend that wellness is found by excising myself from my child. That's not wellness. I know that to be true. And so I really just rejected the idea that I needed to take care of myself until I like actually for real needed to do it. And so there's that culture in the counterculture that's kind of where I was swimming, which is, you know, the ideologies of attachment parenting, gentle parenting, co-sleep and breastfeeding, which are more rooted in biology, but also sometimes are taken at such an extreme that they begin to be neglectful of another. And so I arrived to this place where I was like, what else is there? What's the third option? What's the integrated model? Where are the mothers who aren't not taking care of themselves, but are like truly taking care of themselves without compromising their motherhood, which isn't taking care of themselves? Like, what else do you do? And one thread that I saw so much was this concept that you need to have alone time. You need alone time. And alone time is where you meet all of your needs so that you can survive the rest of your life where you're meeting none of your needs. Right? It's like you're going to mother for 16 hours a day, but you get 20 minutes. So make it count, but you better have that 20 minutes or you're going to die the next morning when you didn't do all that, you know. And then you have the women who are, I have an hour. How do I fix my entire life before the day starts again? What an incredibly stressful place to be in. Because what if you can't carve out alone time? What if you have a baby with needs that really cannot allow for such things? What if you have a partner who works in such a way that he cannot support you through such things? What if you don't live next to family? What if you don't have finances for a sitter? What if you, and there's so many ways that you can be like, oh, those ex are excuses, or don't victimize yourself. Sure, but they're also lived realities. And so the place where you're falling into martyrdom or victimhood is when you choose to surrender to those, when you choose to pretend that those realities are not malleable. But that's not done by pretending they don't exist. And so, what does that look like to weave nourished motherhood beside your child? Because if I come to motherhood with this belief that me and my baby are one, me and my child are one, my wellness is their wellness is my wellness, and motherhood is for me, it's a gift to me. It's not meant to curse me or harm me. It's meant to expand and grow me and make me uncomfortable and bless me at the end. Mustn't there be a way to do that beside my kids? Surely there must be. And it was really just this like idea that like there has to be a pathway then. There has to be. There has to be, whether it's God's design or nature's design or my own design, whatever you want to say, like we're doing here. There has to be a pathway to feeling good beside them and not feeling like I have to escape them. And I always say that, like, a mother that is only well when she is not with her children is not a mother that is well. And so, if you can't find wellness besides your children, you're not experiencing wellness. And that's just like not good enough for me. And I don't believe it's good enough for women. I don't believe it's good enough for families. And so we have to restore something else, an image and a model of something else, something more sustainable and accessible and fucking enjoyable than feeling like you're, you know, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps as your mothering shift starts and you just gotta like brace yourself until you get your break, you know?
Which is hardly ever.
Which is hardly ever. And so, yeah, it really creates this concept that nourishment is hard fought or hard won, which is just a messy energetic landscape to move yourself into. And then, very practically, families begin, the structure of how families function begins to reflect that energetic landscape, which is of scarcity and lack and fear and even confusion on how to move into anything else.
So, did you start to just explore and experiment on how to do that within your own mothering experience? Like, what did that path look like for you?
Yeah, when I really decided, I think I was pregnant with my third, and then I would have had, and babies are so close together. I would have had a like 11-month-old and a 2.5-year-old, or like a just turned 3-year-old. It would have been just turned three, not quite one, and then pregnant. Really in this space of like, oh, I'm okay. If I want something different, I need to do something different. And what could that possibly be? And in my personal life, I really had a ton of my resources pulled. And I think I really was getting by for a lot longer than maybe most women would in this like unhinged devotion, this like really unsustainable point of service. Because I lived in the middle of a city that I loved, and I had access to everything that I needed, and I could walk to where I wanted, and really rich friendships, an incredible community of mothers, and a marriage that felt very nutritive. And then, in a matter over the course of my third pregnancy, we lost the home where my children had been conceived and birthed to mold, and my oldest was so sick, and my marriage completely crumbled. And we moved across the country twice in a matter of 6 months, and I didn't have all of my women, and it was just like, and I was like 36 weeks pregnant, and it was.
Oh my God.
We moved into the home where Noah was born 7 days before he was born,
Oh my
and we didn't
God.
even have a mattress. We slept on the floor for the first 3 days. I slept in a bed for 3 nights before my baby came out.
Oh my
It was
gosh.
remarkable upheaval, right?
Yeah.
Anything that was fortifying me was no longer what was fortifying me. And so it was this really remarkable gauntlet, even of like, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to collapse? Are you going to crumble? Are you going to figure out how to be self-sourcing? And not in this nasty, independent way, but this really glorious, like sovereign but supported, connected but boundary, interdependent way. And it was just sink or swim. And I just refused to hate motherhood, was really, I think, was where I was at. I refused to not like it. It's all I've ever wanted. A significant portion of my childhood memories are just like this longing to have babies. And so I just refused to surrender to not liking it. That was unacceptable to me. And so I had to find the other pieces. And what that really began with was working with my nervous system from a somatic lens, and was really, really, really getting back to basics of what is my body wanting? And allowing myself to be just in those moments and trusting that my body was going to be my compass. My biology and the biology of my baby is the blueprint for wellness, because that's the only way that God and nature could ensure that women have this, is to code it into us. So that must be where I look. And instead of looking at these big pictures of like, I need to make new friends, and am I going to stay with my husband? And am I gonna, I had to really hone in to be like, here's where I am. Here are my three children. We are hungry, and we're going to go eat. Okay, now what do I need? Okay, now what do I need? And noticing, a big practice for me was just taking note of those moments where you want to leave the moment. You'll hit them. It's not even wrong to arrive to that place. It's guidance to arrive to that place. But you've hit them in motherhood the moment where you're like, I don't want this. I want to get up. I want to walk away. I want to latch you. I want to run away. I want to have made different life choices that led me to a different, like anything. I want anything that means I'm not doing this right now because it's too much. And instead, there's a handful of options where women and mothers find themselves in that place. And our typical responses might be shame, feeling like we're failures, feeling like we don't love our kids enough, feeling like we're bad for even having the thoughts of wanting to put down the crying baby, because it's only, what do we live for if not to hold this crying child? And, all of those, the shame spiral. Another one is the victimhood of like, I have no choice. I have no power. I have no agency. I have to hold this baby. There's nothing else I can do. And I'm just surrendered, but not in a sacred and holy way, but in a really defeated kind of way. And both of those options come with this air of martyrdom, or even often this like disassociation, right? Where our body is telling us this is too much, it is too fast, it is too soon, we cannot hold this. And yet, if you have any amount of programming running that says, we'll hold it anyway, it's your child. Whether that's the 3-year-old screaming at you for a different cup, or the baby crying because they don't even know. Or the 18-month-old that's like getting molars and they've been latched for 2 hours and the latch is just different than when they were a newborn. It makes your skin crawl. Whatever that is, when you have a moment that your body says, this is too much to hold, and you are telling yourself, too bad, hold it anyway. That process of like self-gaslighting is how I view it, where you're telling your nervous system, nope, that's not true, but it is. Oh, we're going to pretend that's not real, but your body can. And so now you are not only existing within a state of dissonance between you and your environment, you're existing within a state of dissonance between you and yourself. And that's just the hardest possible place to be in. And so, in those moments when I would find myself wishing I was in a different moment, instead of telling myself and instead of telling my nervous system, my body, that's not real, we don't get to act on that, we're gonna soldier on. It was like a little thread of courage to be like, oh, what do you mean? And maybe I'm not even gonna give it to you, maybe it's impossible. Maybe what my nervous system tells me is like, you need to unlatch the baby, you need to leave the house and walk away. And I'm gonna be like, I'm sorry, girly pop. Like, we're not going that hard. You know, like, I hear you, I love you. And also, no, because there's no one else home and this is a baby or whatever. But allowing myself to even go there, what do I actually want? What do I actually need? What is my body calling for? I know what my baby wants. I know what my baby needs. I know what my baby's body is calling for. I've been forgetting to ask about myself. I'm so focused on my attunement to my child that I've neglected my attunement to myself. So I'm going to go pick those pieces up. And then, moment by moment, looking at here's my child's needs, here's my needs. Maybe my child doesn't get exactly what they want in this moment. Maybe I don't get exactly what I want in this moment. But how can I meet both of the needs? What could that possibly look like? And then trusting that I am safe enough to do that, trusting that my child is safe enough for me to do that, having faith that God and nature did not design it to be that meeting my own needs would cost my child their safety or security. Because that doesn't make sense. We wouldn't have survived, right? If you were to like plot a woman and her children out in the middle of the forest, like, all things considered, they mostly make it work, right? Like, but if the idea of mother making sure she eats, making sure she like is nourished, inherently compromised baby or inherently compromised toddler or child, we literally would not exist. So really just trusting moment by moment, I know what my baby needs. What do I need? How can I merge them? And maybe that looks like, babies were easier for me because they're just very straightforward. They're labor intensive, but very straightforward as far as like what do they need. But let's say the moments that I would really find myself wanting to pop out of were like I'm nursing my baby and my 18-month-old is crying and my 3-year-old is screaming at me because ABC. And every part of me is like, I can't hold all of you. Of course, I can't hold myself. I'm pushing myself back anyway. And so maybe what that looks like is, my body says like, I want to run away. Okay, what does that actually feel like? Feels like my hands are like tingly, and my feet are like buzzy, and my legs are like literally itching to move. Like literally, my body is orienting to flight response. Literally, my body is like, we're ready. Do the thing. The muscles are trying to go. Let's get out of here. This is horrible. And so instead, being like, okay, how can I let you have that space without actually walking out the door? And so maybe that looks like instead of sitting on the couch, which I really wanted to be this like lovey-dovey little nap time, I'm going to put baby in the carrier and I'm going to stand up and I'm going to be like shaking out my hands. And then maybe I'm bouncing up and down. And maybe I'm like squatting and touching the ground. Maybe I'm giving my body this pathway to get its needs met while staying in the moment. And that was the initial foundation of just like, how can I feel okay in the moment? There's no skipping the moment. There'll just be another moment. Like life is relentless. It's just, it keeps coming. And not in this awful way, but there's always a moment. So can you be in the one that you're in? And what would you need in order to feel safe being in the moment that you're in? And it is so much added weight to it when you're doing this as a mother. And you're doing it in the face of children. But it is the most holy reclamation to do this work for them and with them. Ideally, I wouldn't, I definitely had a skills deficit when I arrived to motherhood or even just to adulthood, where so much of this ideally would have been practices and an understanding of self and the capacity for regulation that I just would have arrived to adulthood with more of those skills, right? And so this was now like going back and reclaiming some lost threads that I didn't have the opportunity to work with as a child. Doing that, even in front of your children, is how we ensure that they have those opportunities to do that. Right? My children now have the skill set where they're like, I feel like I'm gonna hit him. My hands are feeling really hot. I need to go somewhere, you know? They now have that skill set in the language, but I had to have it first. You cannot teach something you do not have. You can't impart something you do not know. And so is it challenging? Yes. But is it doable? Absolutely. And what I found is so often the process really was as simple as just willing to be in the moment. It wasn't this really, this wasn't this really difficult problem to sit down with pen and paper and like solve the thing. It was just to allow it to happen, allow the thing to be what it is, and allow myself to be as I am with it. That was the process. And sometimes it was as simple as wiggling my hands while I allowed a 3-year-old to try to co-regulate on me, you know? And sometimes it was more complicated. But the more that I found myself willing to connect with safety and connect with a thread of nourishment in motherhood, the more I could build upon it. And so that really became my second task. When I first was like, I need to figure out how to feel safe. And then came this. Now I want more. Now I want to build myself. And where is that? And really, really, really remarkably orienting towards beauty and nourishment and enjoyment and pleasure and all of those ideas that like I can fill my cup without it being brunch and spa on Mother's Day. I can fill my cup in how I plate my food. I can fill my cup in the lighting of a candle before our meals. I can fill my cup in rubbing my children's bodies with mugwort oil before we lay down. I can fill my cup in a million different ways and making things beautiful and noticing, this is something I shared in the Alchemy of Beauty workshop is really a lot of where this comes through, but it's obviously rooted a ton as well because it's just a massive part of my life and my nourishment. But the alchemy of those moments where can you now have the awareness to take that moment that you wanted to leave and can you make it one you never want to leave? This moment that you were like, I can't, I can't, I can't. And now you're like, oh dear God, thank you for letting me drink this down. What is that like? And I truly believe that that alchemy is an inherent capability of women and of mothers and also of humans, but I can't speak to that because I am a woman and I am a mother. But the alchemy of that is really powerful. And that is really what happens where motherhood just no longer becomes something you have to escape in order to survive. And it actually just becomes the hurt and the discomfort and the pain and the gift and the lesson and the beauty and the balm all in once. And that is what mothers are meant for, is holding it all at once. That's it. That is the frequency of mother. I hold it off.
I'm so grateful. First, thank you for that. Absolutely beautiful. I love listening to you speak. I could listen to you speak forever. You just have such a like eloquent and delicious way of speaking. And it feels like the embodiment of, what you're speaking about, the embodiment of nourishment and beauty. And so I just want to say that
Thank you.
first. But yeah, witnessing you as I stepped into my own experience of motherhood was like this, seeing this whole new way of mothering, because that's not what my mother was like. My mother was the martyr, the, oh, I never buy any clothes for myself. I need to make sure all my girls are taken care of and my husband and our home, and there is no room for me. And I witnessed, my sister in that as well, and being like, I resisted motherhood so hard because I was like, I don't want that. I don't want that. And so when I saw you, I was like, wait a second. Wait, what? There's a different way? There's a different way? Like, and so just, I feel like you, yes, for me, but also for so many other women, you're opening this door just first by being yourself and showing up in the way you do and speaking in the way you do and embodying nourishment as a mother in the way you do. But with Rooted as well, you're opening this door of a whole new experience of motherhood where we don't have to choose one or the other. We don't have to choose to leave our babies to nourish ourselves. We don't have to choose to never nourish ourselves and just be with our babies. We get to meet in the middle in a really beautiful way. And maybe it won't look, the way that we thought it was going to look, or maybe it'll feel a little different than we thought it was going to feel as well. But yeah, I really feel this. Like, I just keep seeing this like gate. There's like golden gates opening, and you're just on the other side, like, come, come. It's really beautiful over here. It's really delicious and nourishing over here. So yeah, thank you for sharing all of that and for this work that you're doing. And yeah, just me also being a first-time mother, getting to, step into motherhood with a whole new perspective feels so powerful to be like, wow, I get to start my path of motherhood in this way. And like, I was like, I don't know, 3, 4 months postpartum when I joined Rooted. And like, how incredible. So, yeah, I'm going to be speaking to, as I am affiliating this round of Rooted, I'm going to be speaking to Rooted as, a kind of path for the first time mother and entering our experience of motherhood in this way. Like, we don't have to. And of course, there's always going to be learning and switching paths and turning around and going a different way. And it's all learning. It's all learning. It's like, oh, I figured out something that really works. Like, I was swinging in the hammock with a sleeping baby in our calls.
You would take the Rooted calls and you just looked so lush and delicious. Well, I
Was
bet
thinking,
she
like,
won't do that now.
no. I would be like eating quiche from your postpartum cookbook and my sleeping baby swinging in the hammock outside, all snuggled up. Now she'd be like kicking me and clawing me to get out.
Trying to pull
So,
the hair you don't have, eating the quiche that you wanted. Oh my gosh, I know.
So there's always like, there's okay, this works right now. And what's going to work in the next season and the next season and the next season? And how can I pull different tools from different spaces? And I feel like Rooted is such, at least for me, because there's so many women in different seasons of motherhood. There's me who had my 3-ish months old baby. There's you who has your four boys. There's my sister. My sister did it as well, who has her four kids. There's a woman whose daughter is a teenager. And, like there's so many different experiences of motherhood in one container. And something that you said that has stuck with me and is rippling into so many other areas of my life was the call about community. And you said that, being in community, it kind of solidifies where you are, who you are, and who you're not. And I used to think that was like a bad thing to be like, oh, but I'm spending time with my friend who doesn't have babies, and now we're not in the same place, and that's bad. And it's like, it's not. It's just what it is. You're in different seasons of life in this way, and you can be there. You can be there. So yeah, it helped me to really solidify where I was and continue now where I am in my season of motherhood. And there's a little bit of the that I'm sure so many first-time moms experience this like imposter syndrome. Like, am I a real mother? Like I'm like changing the diapers, I'm feeding the baby, I'm holding her when she cries, but I don't feel like a mother. Like, what is that? That's just there's so many pieces that really stuck with me through it, but that was one of the like major pieces. Can I be in community and allow it to nourish me and solidify where I am, and so I can be here more fully, be in this experience more fully, rather than wishing to be elsewhere. So and another thing in that community too is like the mothering in community aspect. You also said something about you're not getting together to have this like beautiful, deep conversation. Sometimes you don't even talk. And I'm like, oh, just having that permission almost, it felt like permission to just be mothering in community and not be like, oh, mothering is getting in the way of us connecting, of us spending time together, of us like having this conversation. We're getting together to mother together and not be alone and separate. And since then, like I used to be someone who would be like, oh man, like I need to have a social battery to spend time with people and blah blah blah. And now I'm like, I know that when I see this woman and her baby and we're both feeding and cleaning spit up and doing whatever, bouncing our babies, like I'm gonna feel less alone and I'm gonna feel nourished by that. Even if I don't have anything to say, to speak about, just being in the same room, tending to our children at the same time is so nourishing. So, this kind of leads me into how would you explain nourishment to a woman who thinks it's just about food? Because nourishment is usually a word that we use with food. And maybe we went into this in the postpartum podcast as well, but it's coming up again. So, yeah, how
It's
would
a
you
good
explain it?
start. It's such a joyous thing. Nourishment is, and you can also exchange it with. Oh, you can't, actually. Just kidding. It's its own thing. I was gonna say it's really adjacent to like resource. It is a resource. It is something that resources you, gives you more to work with. But nourishment is not just resource. It's also, for me, this energetic of like cosmic love. There's an affection to nourishment where resource is too sterile for what it truly is. And so nourishment, it's everywhere. So nourishment, when I talk about that, I'm going to talk about what is it that feeds you, not just your body, but your mind or your heart or your spirit. I am in service of a mother's spirit so that she feels she may be safely landed in her motherhood. And that requires a certain amount of nourishment. Connection is nourishment, being witnessed, witnessing another, earth, wind, sun, nature, food, pleasure, beauty, the sight and smell, any kind of sensory enjoyment. But nourishment is also I love this quote that you told about like the mother and together nourishment is also inherently available because there is an inherent reciprocal nature to being a mother. You most clearly see the illustration of this when it comes to the like primordial breastfeeding relationship. I see that as like the initial foundational imprint. If you want to look at like how is motherhood reciprocal, look at a breastfeeding relationship. It is an absolute outpouring. Literal, physical outpouring. You are taking the things that your body was like, we need this, we love this, you ate this, thank you. And then you're like, have it all, have as much as you want. I love you, right? It is the most, it is the most visceral outpouring of yourself in an incredibly tangible way. And it is not simply extension, it is also reception. Quite literally, if you were to look at the biomechanics of nursing, as your baby is sucking out milk, your body is also pulling in their saliva. There is a communication of data that is happening every time you latch your baby. Beyond the physical latch, there's also the oxytocin release of you being in their presence or of let down. There is the sight of them, the smell of them, the people for nervous system regulation will like put a sandbag on their chest or use weighted blankets. Like, just hold a baby. It feels so good. There's so much that a mother receives as she brings her baby to breast. And that is truly, in my opinion, how motherhood is designed to feel. Of course, you're giving, but you can also be receiving. And in fact, there's an opportunity to receive in the exact moments that you are serving. It's not on or off, it is just open. And I love examining again this like nursing relationship because of the correlation between our breasts and our heart space. And the fact that that is, if you're going to talk about like your heart and your energy, if you are open to give, you are open to receive. Those aren't separate switches. It's not, this is my moment to give, now I get to receive later. Or I gave to this person 10 times, so I get to receive from this person once over here because I've earned it. If you are open to give, you are open to receive. And that is the truest essence of motherhood. And I know mothers. I am mother. I know them. We're open to give. And we allow ourselves permission to notice all the ways that we can be open to receive. Can you allow your service to be nourishment in and of itself? And it might be reimagining the way that you're doing it, right? We have this really robust cultural model that service is service. It's like a one-way valve. There's no backflow. It's give or take. Even our Western language really creates this idea that it's one or the other. And that moves beyond motherhood and into all relationships and life and work and everything else. But it also all comes back to motherhood because that's the microcosm of life. And so maybe you do need to reimagine it. Like you said, maybe it's going to look different than you thought it was going to look. Maybe you need to be willing to set something down in order to pick this bit of nourishment up. You know? And sometimes it's so simple. It can be, which is why, you know, rooted is a lot of framework, is how I designed for it to be. There's a lot of inquisition and a lot of curiosity and the space to come in safely, set all your things down, and figure out how you want to pick them back up. But I don't know you, and I don't know your children, and I don't know your life and your marriage and your finances and your motherhood. I don't know your answers. And I also like cannot even tell you how many dollars someone would need to pay me for me to have the space to like sit down and do that work for you. Also, it still wouldn't be as good because it's straight up yours. Like, but that's not my job. It could not be. And I have no desire for it to be. But instead, I will create and offer this framework because that can move through your multiple seasons of motherhood too, of how do you want to be shown? Here's all your pieces. How do you want to hold them? How do you want to imagine them? How can you allow them to move and shift and change? Where is your nourishment? And can you allow yourself to be brave enough to orient your life around it? Which is why that foundation of frequency and energetic imprint and like locating nourishment first matters so much, because that gets to become your compass. I think we probably talked about this with postpartum too, like a nourished postpartum becomes your compass for nourished motherhood, because once you have touched the frequency of nourished mother, it is very hard to tell yourself to let it go. Once you have touched that, you seek it, you orient to it, and you know the value of it. So you choose to act in service of it. And that does mean that you don't act in service of other things. What that looks like in your life, who knows? I couldn't yet, but I can tell you there's tons of things in my life that don't get done, or I don't prioritize, or I don't put my energy towards, because it's worth it to me to put my energy towards connection and attunement and nourishment within myself and between me and my children. And so, you know, rooted is also a lot of practical, like logistical work. Like the framework is quite literally like, okay, this sounds really nice, but literally, what do I do different when I wake up? And
Yeah.
like, I have to do the things I have to do, Nicole. Like, how is that different than how I'm doing them now? And so we do work with the practical nature of those things, where I used to, like an example of this from a couple of years ago, is that I used to utilize the times where my children needed me less to be my most productive. So like in Rooted in the second week, we go through rhythm. And the primary part of that is to examine the existing rhythm in your household and then to choose how to work with it differently. How to optimize it feels a little too like robotic, but to really work with it in a way that is just abundant for you. And so for me, it used to be, oh, I know that after breakfast, the baby's not ready to nap and my big boys have had all their needs met, and they kind of just naturally go in. And I would be like, so I'm going to clean and cook and voice note and email. And like, I would like, I was like, that was for me. Maybe I wasn't leaving my kids to do it, but that was for me. Like, I'm willing to disassociate from myself to meet all my needs. How am I going to fix my life in this 45 minutes my kids are content in the backyard? And then it would end. I know mothers have this experience too. Then it would end, and now they need me for a bunch of things. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't recover at all. I'm not ready for this. I'm now depleted. Like, and I know to someone who's not a mother, that might sound extreme, like hour to hour. But yes, hour to hour, the way that you feel that you're capable and the your capacity for showing up to your life can radically change. And so one shift for me, very practically speaking, to choosing nourishment over production, knowing that the more nourished I am, the more productive and abundant I ultimately am, is I utilize that time to make sure that I'm well. I check in, do I need a snack? Did I eat breakfast with them? Or was I like, oh, they're content at the table and I'm going to go get the dishes started? Did I actually sit down and eat with them, or did I eat their leftovers? Do I need something to drink? The answer is always yes. I'm going to get electrolytes. I'm going to get a cup of tea. I'm going to make a coffee. I'm going to something. There's like never a moment where a mineral rich, delicious drink will not give you something that it turns out you should have. I will die on this hill. I am fine with it. I had someone one time tell me, she's like, I'm just not really like a bevies kind of girl. And I was like, you are. Let me tell you about how you are, actually. No one is not.
Let me change your mind.
Let me change your mind, because here's what's up. And so I make sure that I'm meeting my needs first. And now am I also going to balance that with like, I'm having a little drink and I'm going to start the dishes but not finish them. I'm going to sweep the floors, but I'm going to choose not to mop them. Or I'm going to, you know, I know I have these three emails I really need to send. I'm going to knock that out because it's a gift to my mind to set that task down. But then, actually, when I'm freed up there, I'm going to go outside and I'm going to watch my kids. I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to sit on the ground. Oh, gosh. My right hip is feeling weird and tight. And I didn't even notice because all morning I've just been doing shit for other people all day long. I have the space to move that, to wiggle, to warm, to see how I feel. And then, let's say that chunk of time ends and they return to this space. Can you cut up that watermelon? And I need to poop. And I, all the things that happen. And I'm capable of showing up to that task robustly. No part of me is like, yes, I can do that. Yeah, sure did. Got you. Let's go. I'm comfortable. And then they're more comfortable. My needs are met, and now their needs are met. And now, actually, all of us are feeling so steady together. I can mop the floors with them. We're connected, we're cooperative. No one's like dysregulated because they're secretly hungry and literally don't have human language to express that. Like, everyone's just good, and now we can all do the things that we need to do. But does it first feel really uncomfortable to be like, I'm going to sit down even though my floors are literally sticky? Hell yes. Heck yeah, it does. Yeah, that skin, most, I would say that most women know it, that skin crawly feeling when you're like, I haven't been productive enough to earn my rest yet. I better go fix that. So then, do you also have the somatic and nervous system skills to hold that discomfort and move yourself through that threshold? That's why we do that work in Rooted too. That's why I will literally always, until she tells me no, have Hannah Grace come in and teach somatic dance. That's why that's there. Because yeah, if you want to expand beyond these thresholds that you've been existing within, and I'm not going to come beating down your door and telling them which one they are. I don't care what you do. But if you come to me and you arrive to this collection of mothers and you say, this is what I want to set down, and then I want to hold it a different way, you also do need that literal, practical, real life, body-based skill set to hold it and hold yourself through the discomfort of it changing. And maybe, even maybe, you actually literally need that collection of women that you know is there to even pick up your phone and say, the sink is piled so high with dishes, I don't even know if I could turn the faucet on, but I told you I would. So I made tea and I'm sitting outside and it doesn't feel good yet. And then you get to text them 5 minutes later and you're like, actually, this is fucking awesome. Screw the dishes. Okay. And you get to have all these other women be like, yes, I knew it. Or all these other women be like, oh my God, I am literally doing the dishes. No, you know what? You're right. I'm going to go sit down. Right? Like, we get to together by giving yourself these permission slips, by offering them to other mothers, by even just some women are not super engaged in the group and they just watch. And I don't even know how engaged they are. And I'll have women message me later and be like, I know I never sent a single message in the Signal chat, but I read everything. And I am telling you, I got so much out of just watching women be good to each other. I got so much out of watching the way mothers speak to each other in there. I got so much out of, like, I would see someone do something and I would try it and I couldn't believe how well it worked, or, this space where, like, mothers desperately need mothers. And you will do better by yourself the more you get to see women doing well by themselves. It's just mothers. We think, motherhood is something that is so innate. It is so intuitive. You do have this primal wisdom that is inalienable and yours, and is just there for you. And especially when you're existing within modern frameworks, there is something to be said for needing a model. Specifically, if you want to mother by way of your primal body within modern structures, you need a model. Because the modern structures of how our families are held or working or interacting is not innate. It is not intuitive. It is not body-based. And so you either succumb to that and it feels the way that it feels for you, or you totally reject that, but then you're in this really odd, uncomfortable dissonance with your life, but then like you the rest of your life. Or like, I want to say that like we'll just barefoot village life all day, but literally we need to make money and buy groceries. Like, money, you know what I mean? Like, this is where a lot of the times you'll hear women be like, my husband doesn't get it. And I'm like, honey, he's trying to figure out how to feed you. Like, let's give him a pause of race real quick. Like, no, he doesn't get it, but he has a different task at hand and you just got to let him do his thing. Like, you know? Like, and so we're like at war with these different things. And so if you're going to find a way to merge, then you're going to find a way to live by your body in a modern world that isn't going to invite you into that automatically. You do need a mom. Maybe not even a complete one. Maybe not one woman taking you under her wing and mentoring you, but you can have that too. But you do need to have spaces where you see another mother do something and go, oh, oh, I want to try that on. Or you go, oh, I don't like that. I don't want that at all. And you know what's not for you, right? It's this process of orienting to yourself and your desires by way of reflecting and rebounding off of others. And that's just an inherent social skill of humans. Like, and it's best done, you know, I think this is a really tricky bit about like mother culture these days, is that we're doing that process, but without, truly without like love and care for one another. Where there's where you have mothers that are just like in the endless scroll of slow living inspo, gentle mama inspo. It's the Pinterest boards of how to be a regulated mother, but no lived experience of it. It's the Facebook group of how to attachment parent, but no integration on how to take care of your own nervous system. It's the looking at the mother who like, you know, you're like, how does she do it? And she's like, oh, I don't know either, you know, but like, and you're just like, fuck, I'm failing. What's going on? You know, it's that without, and it's that's what happens when humans try to socially orient without love and care and connection at the base of it. And that's truly what sets rooted apart from just like the endless consumption of information. Is I truly like I tap it and I like, know these women and I'm like, what's your birth chart? Where were you born? How's your mom doing? Like, I want to know who you are because I want to love you, because I will be damned if I ever take a dime from a mother and I don't love her in return. And it's not that anyone is ever buying my love, but you're paying for my time so that I am resourced enough to love you to the fullest of my ability. And straight up, I know myself. Loving women is within my skill set. I eat that up. And so that's why Rooted is the space where you get to come, and it's not just like you get to come be loved and held and safe and supported. And you get to go through that process of that looks good, I want to try that on, or I don't like that, I don't want to try that. And you get to go through that regulated, where there's less of an invitation. It might still come up and you can bring that to the group too, but it's less likely to come up that you have that psycho shame spiral. It's less likely to come up that, you know, you have that information move into your brain and then just bounce right off and you just like keep on going with like how many mothers have listened to podcast after podcast after podcast on nervous system regulation. They're like, no, I'm still stressed out. Well, like, honey, you're just listening. What to do? And for the most part, because in the age of information, it's just interact with it, not integrate it. Consume it, not embody it. And so Rooted is in everything that I do. I aim to have this be, I'm not just lobbing information at you. But like I'm really truly offering you something and then offering you the space to also work with it and have it become a part of your lived experience. Because it's all too easy as a mother to like follow the Instagram page that talks about it. But then like what you're doing is just scrolling and reading it. And that's a beautiful thing in the sense that it awakens that desire, right? You're stoking that flame of desire of like, oh, this feels good. I like sitting here and thinking about this and feeling into this. And then so those sensations come online in your body. I love that. We love that. I do plenty of that. Right? But then like come and let's use it. What are you going to do with that desire? What are you going to make from that? What will that become for you and your babies? Like those parts you need to. That's where real impact happens for mothers and families.
There's two pieces that came up for me listening to that. And the first is this like essence of sisterhood within the group, within Rooted. It's because there's so much like mom shaming and like you're doing it different than me. So am I wrong or are you wrong? And like that
Someone
almost
has
like
to be.
competition,
Yeah.
pardon?
Someone has to be. Yeah.
And yeah, like I felt nothing of that, even though there's so many women, doing drastically different things in different seasons of motherhood. Like there was not an ounce of, oh my God, like, oh, should I do that instead of that? And insecurity and this, it was just like such radical permission to do what feels right in your body. And like, I feel like you offer that to each individual in such a beautiful, almost like seamless way that I don't know how conscious you are of it. If it's something that you're like, I'm going to do this, but it comes through seemingly to me so effortlessly. And I think that like bringing that aspect of sisterhood and connection and loving women is so powerful. And like that alone is worth paying for, is worth like the investment. That energy alone and being with women in that energy is so powerful. But and that piece of shame, because I felt a lot of shame in just like, oh my God, my body is responding or reacting to my crying baby in a way that I don't like. And I feel like I'm wrong. I feel like my body is wrong. There's something wrong with me for wanting to, for a minute, put down my screaming, crying baby so that I can breathe. For being like, hey, Florian, you need to take her. You need to take her right now. And I need to go scream into a pillow. Like, it just dissolved so much shame to hear you speak in the way that you speak, especially in that nervous system section of Rooted, to just be like, oh my God, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. I'm not a bad person. I'm not a bad mother for feeling all of these things. And you're actually giving me the tools to support me when I am feeling these things. And then, yeah, and like not shaming each other for our individual experiences. And it's just, there's also like a energy of playfulness, of discovery, of like, let's try it on and see what feels good, see what actually feels nourishing to me, and yeah, not make it a competition, you know? I love it.
I'm so glad to hear that. That's like my ultimate like goal. And I am pretty mindful about like making sure that, like I only create content for Rooted when I'm in that space myself. Like I only, I really, really, really intentionally, clearly and cleanly tap in to those frequencies and that embodiment, and I create it from that space in hopes that it's just really palpable. Because yeah, shame is just like the antithesis of playfulness and the antithesis of nourishment and In Rita, we dive into a good bit, even the difference between guilt and grief and shame, which is just another, yet again, why I love Hannah Grace coming in to literally metabolize that in the body so you can start to notice those differences. But it's just, yeah, it's completely correct for your body to tell you what's correct for you. And also, you get to, like, and that doesn't mean you just like go screaming at children because your body's like, ah, and you're like, yeah, ah, like, we're still like personally responsible and we are the adults, and so do something about it. But I mean, literally just this morning, all four of my children, I was trying to talk to one of them. He was not trying to talk to me. He was trying to actively speak to someone else as I was speaking to him. That person was not listening to him because him plus the other two, so all three of them, were talking to me as I was trying to talk to the one person who wasn't looking at me. And it went on for like several minutes. And I like got down to eye level and like made physical contact and was like I did all the things that people are like, oh, their brains are overwhelmed. Just do this. And I was like, no, like his brain is turned off. It is disconnected. It is unplugged. Like, what is going on here? And I just watched that so much. And at some point, I like stood up and I like backed up to the other side of the room. And I literally was just like, ah! I just like yelled. And I always turn up to like the ceiling. I just like, it was pure sound. No words, just like, ah. Oh. Like I just, it had to go. And it was my 7-year-old I was trying to talk to, and they all paused, obviously. And he looks at me and goes, were you yelling to get that out or are you yelling at me? And I was like, I'm yelling to get it out. And he was like, okay. And I was like, but I do need to talk to you. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. What do you mean?
Oh.
Like, and I'm not saying like scream into the room to shock your children into listening to you. But yes, like you need the like you it's I also I have this visual of myself and mothers through the day of like a pressure valve. Like, are you going to allow yourself to work with it? Or are you gonna lock that up until it bursts without your consent? And
Yeah.
that was the kind of situation where I was like, I need to let some of this out, or it's gonna come out on its own in a way I don't feel good about. And what that looks like is just like groaning in the corner for a second. Like I need to move the sound that my son is refusing to hear. So I've been trying to talk for 3 solid minutes. I would have, when he was like two, like freshy, cute little sweet new mama of me, like I'm still freshy and cute and little and sweet, but whatever that was for me first time mama, I would have been like horrified to have made sound in front of my child. Right? I would have been like, oh no, I have no discipline, I'm uncontained. Like, no, I have tons of discipline. I contained it until the moment that I decided to consciously express it. It also gives my children permission to do that themselves. And now, ideally, we have like a present co-parent, and I have like several maidens in my house at all times. And I actually never hit that point. Right? Ideally, I don't have pressure building up where I ever hit that point. Sure. But this is another reality of living as a primal mother in the modern world, is maybe that's not the structure you're in. So how can you still be okay? And can you allow yourself pathways to releasing what you have without causing harm? And the reality is me being like, cool. Okay, you guys, doesn't cause my children any harm, literally at all. But it would cause me a significant amount if I tried to pretend that wasn't there. And there's only shame in that when you decide to label any part of the process as incorrect. And all of my work and all of my life is really founded on this belief that like your body isn't incorrect. Don't shame your body, it's not wrong. It might be misguided, it might be misunderstood, it might be confused about the moment at hand, but it's not wrong. Everything's coming from someplace, and you can always choose to sit with it. So there's like really truly only shame when you decide that that's unacceptable, which is kind of really honestly kind of willy-nilly done because there's no need to do that. It doesn't serve, shame doesn't serve a purpose. It's not a creative sensation. It's not a frequency that creates. And so it just I can just not be there, which is
Mm-hmm.
easier said than done, and easier done with others.
Yep.
You know, where you can
So.
like say that to another mother and she's like, oh yeah, I could have done that yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, we were like, my baby's been latched for 3 hours and I want to rip my own skin off. And she's like,
I feel you.
I know.
Even you saying you'd like screamed up or let the sounds out. Flora pulled my earring today and I was not okay. No, I was not okay. And I walked away and Florian was with her and I was just like, I'm so angry. I'm so angry. I can't deal with that right now. And like, I felt a little shame of that. And hearing you say that, I'm like, oh, okay, it's fine.
Sometimes
Okay,
you're
it's good.
hungry. Sometimes you're. I remember being knocked on my butt when I was pregnant with my second, and then I had a toddler who would like bite me and jump on me. And previously, I mean, this is the boy that I was like, I just bled out for him all day, every day. It was gorgeous. I loved it. And then all of a sudden, I was like, if you jump on my womb full of baby again, I am gonna drop kick you across the room. Like, oh my God, my capacity to feel that mama bear sensation towards baby, my own, my darling little angel. And I was like, don't touch me again. Like, you know. And did I act on that? Absolutely not. Was that his problem? Absolutely not. But it freaked me out to feel that feeling. And no one else had ever talked about that feeling. And yet, since, how many mothers have I talked about where they're like, I'm just curious. My toddler keeps jumping on me and I'm pregnant and I'm really struggling with how that feels. And I get to be like, oh, like you want to throw up? She's like, oh my God, like I want to throw him. It's horrible. And I'm like, no, don't throw him, but here's what we'll do. know? Oh. And that just applies to everything all the time. Any feeling you've ever tried to have shame about someone else too. Anything ever that you've tried to tell yourself is not okay, someone else too. And it melts away the second you let someone else see it. And there's not enough of mothers seeing mothers. You know, you talked about the like thinking that mothering is like getting in the way of hanging out. And we also too have this idea that like hanging out gets in the way of mothering. So like, oh, I can't hang out with you because I have to mother. Or like, I can't mother because I want to hang out with you. And so we also then this is where we have the like I consider them like sterile hangouts. Play date. Play date means no one's having fun. Like that's how, if we're calling it a play date, ugh. Because what that means is we're getting together for the orchestration of friendships on our children's behalf. We are meeting in a neutral spot. Let's go to a playground instead of our home. We like curated the food we brought. And like, listen, I live for curating food, obviously. I'm down for that part. But like, and then we're gonna kind of pretend that we're not mother. And we're gonna, oh God, I pray that I don't have to do any disciplining in front of him. Or like, I just hope, you know, you just want it to be like as sterile as possible because God forbid someone see you in the actual process of your life. And that's like the extent of modern mothering friendships for a lot of women. And what a gift it is to yourselves, but also to your children for like, it helps my children for them to see other children get disciplined and be like, oh, mama isn't oppressing me. Everyone is doing this. Like, oh, I thought you were a tyrant, but I know Mama Ashley isn't a tyrant and she has the same rule. So I guess we're fine. Like, that is literally a process my boys get to experience, right? Where like, they get to be parented by other people. Where they get to, you know. And then you get to have this model too of what does it look like to hold boundaries and set them and whatever else that looks like. Where if I'm going to spend time with the mother, I'm going, like, absolutely witness me in the act of mothering. It's so affirming. It's so validating. It's so encouraging. It's so much more comfortable. And also serves as like a frequency foundation for then taking that back to your house. Disciplining my children when I remove the potential for shame is the easiest with other women around because I'm co-regulating with adults. She's not freaked out that my kid is throwing a fit, but I might be. And I get to co-regulate to that. Now I am more capable of holding space for this tantrum appropriately in a way that maybe I couldn't access before. I get to have that now. That experience in the medicine of the moment is now mine. I get to take that home when she's long gone and the next tantrum comes and there's now a thread of embodied wisdom that she supported me in accessing. Where now, maybe for every tantrum for the rest of forever, I get to show up more like I would like than I ever could access before her. Simply by letting her be in the room when I was like, I really understand you're frustrated right now. As my kid was like, you know, like Banshee screaming at me. What a gift. And it seems so simple. It seems so not important to like let people see you in that, but it is. Because those moments become yours and you get to take them with you. And it doesn't matter if it's like in conversations like this, over the computer, or random strangers at the park, or the old woman at the grocery store who saw Noah threaten to stab me, or like, or in Rooted, or in a group chat, or wherever it is, when you get to place your life experience at the feet of another and have them hold it comfortably, effortlessly.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to share a piece of your shame with a woman and have her go, this is it? Oh, honey. This was it? This was the big scary piece? I can hold this. Oh, baby girl, I love this. Now you get to love it too.
Yeah.
And it's so easy. And it's like you said, it's so fun. It's so playful. It's so enjoyable. It becomes, and it's like a muscle you get to work. It becomes easier and easier all the time. But then show women and show anyone, really. This is what my life is. This is what I'm experiencing right now. And the more other people go, oh yeah, we can hold that, the more you get to go, oh yeah, I can hold it too.
Yeah.
And then our kids learn that and they grow up and marry other kids who learned that. It's awesome.
And then the world is just a better place.
And the world is just better because we create culture and this is how we do it.
Oh. Oh. So beautiful. I'm so happy that you're just offering this because it is such important work, so integral and necessary, so necessary. So what's the well, I guess we'll have the link for everyone to go and check it out, but briefly, it's 8 weeks. Correct? 8 weeks and like eight modules, kind of, you would say.
Yeah. We start on July 20th.
Mm-hmm.
This round, we could probably do another in the fall, but this one, who knows if there are when, but this round we start July 20th. We do a call once a week where we like dive into it. And then through the week, there's been, you know, the integrative practice and intuitive prompts or thematic work or really practical frameworks, and then the community space in the group chat where you get to really play with it and bounce it off of others and see how it lands for you.
And quickly, one thing before we close. I saw on your Instagram story you did like a question box and somebody asked if it was a space for maidens as well. Can you speak to that?
So I think I checked in with my friend Carissa about it because before it's only ever been mothers, no one's ever asked. And I've had a couple women before who are like, I'm pregnant for the first time, so I'm not a real mom yet. And I'm like, no, absolutely come. Like, you're absolutely confident.
Yeah.
But I really checked into like that energy and how good that feels as far as The guy left. Great. Oh my gosh. I believe that crafting yourself as a mother begins the moment you begin to orient towards your child. When they come into your awareness in any form, and you begin to construct your life around how they will someday be with you, where you begin to construct yourself around how they will someday be with you, that is the act of mothering. And that is quite literally mothering your child, whatever physical form that they are in or not. So that's totally welcome. And I think I worded it as saying it's very much a mother-centered space, but it's not mother exclusive. And so if someone is a maiden, if you're just a maiden, you're like, oh, that just sounds so fun. I'm just curious. Maybe not for you yet. And I'm leaving that up to people's discretion. I'm not telling anyone nowhere yet. But if you are one of those maidens, it's like, I know I'm gonna be a mother. And I want to start exploring this, and I want to start seeing what that feels like, and I want to witness what it looks like for other mothers, and I want to start trying some of these things on. And I'm like, absolutely, you're welcome. And I really admire that space of that, like, self-conscious self-creation, like really getting to play with who is my mother self going to be, and what parts of her can I touch right now. I love that. That's so welcome. Yeah. I wish I had this before, like, I was a mother. I wish I had landed with these things before I conceived my baby and had some of these tools already there for me to reach for.
I mean, I'm like I said earlier, grateful I got it in my such an early season of motherhood for me. But to, even think about how powerful it would be to walk into motherhood already having this in my backpack, would be really powerful. And so I love that you're opening the space to those women and giving them the opportunity to also be in a mother-centered space. There's like so many women in my community have had babies this year. It's wild. It's so wild. But some of them are like, yeah, the first baby I was around is my own. And like that's the experience of witnessing mothers, I think it's really powerful to also just be around and witness and receive, just what mothers are saying and sharing and speaking about and the conversation. So
Yeah.
Florian just got home and he's speaking Albanian. I don't know if you can hear him in the background.
Cannot hear him.
But yeah. So thank you for this and for doing this work again. Thank you because it's so incredible and I will be speaking to that as throughout this launch. But is there any like final things that you feel called to say or share before we close?
No, thank you for chatting with me more. I love it. I'm so much more excited. I was already really excited about it, but I'm like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, all the ways that I absolutely love this. It's so exciting that I get to do this more. These conversations, just like, this is nourishment. These conversations between women and mothers, it's so nourishing. And so it just has such a remarkable impact.
I feel it too. I feel
Thank
so nourished by this. So, yeah, thank you so much. And for those listening who are interested, you can find the link to the Rooting landing page in the show notes. And there'll be a link to Nicole's Instagram to, find her and get to witness. I love just getting to receive everything that you share on Instagram. It's just delicious. And I'm like, oh, yes, thank you. Oh, thank you. So, yeah, thank you so much.
you.